The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, America. Welcome to the program. Lena Dunham has just a great story about a woman and her dog that she saved from a no-kill shelter in Brooklyn. Now she's returning the dog. But when you hear why and what the shelter is saying, it's just good, wholesome. It's like a box of Wheaties. It's going to make you strong for the day. We'll give you this. And also, my message to the media. We begin right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. Welcome to the program. It's Thursday. Let me address something to the media. You know, as we're going through this scandal of Donald Trump, I'm really trying very hard to look at all sides and stay as reasonable as I can. And it's really difficult. It's very difficult to watch people in the media who have never woken up from their slumber. They've never done really any soul searching. They didn't understand why Donald Trump won. I mean, that the win of Donald Trump has really changed my life because I couldn't figure it out either. And so I started doing soul searching. What have I missed? What's happened? And it has led me to the truth. Not that Russia was meddling with the election. Not that people in the country are racist. But the fact that people in the country are hurting. And they're in real trouble. And they're at their last straw. I've talked to people all over the country who are supporting Donald Trump and not really wanting to, but they don't know what else to do because he's their last hope. Because they also know if Donald Trump goes away, they're going to do the same thing to Mike Pence. You could dig up John F. Kennedy, start his heart again, throw some more meat on his bones, and the Democrats would destroy him. If he was a Republican candidate, who, by the way, I know he wouldn't be welcome in the Democratic Party. I don't think Mitch McConnell would accept him because he was too conservative in the Republican Party. But you could have John F. Kennedy returned from the dead, and the media would tear him apart as long as he was a Republican. Last night I saw, what was his name, Gorka? What's his first name? Is it Richard Gorka? Sebastian Gorka. Low-level guy at the White House who apparently is a guy who just likes to get on and say inflammatory things in the media, and he was the one last night who was willing to just say anything on Anderson Cooper. I'm watching this, and I'm watching this clip this morning, and I'm hearing him say things like, "Well, this is just fake news." And Anderson Cooper says, "How can this be fake news? This email that we're discussing was released by Donald Trump Jr." We didn't make it up. It came from him. It's fake news. It's fake news. I mean, it's crazy. And I could see it in Anderson's eyes. He really didn't understand what the hell is happening. But is anybody in the media actually going to take the time to figure it out? Let me explain it to you, media. You really didn't care about the Whitewater scandal. You didn't care about that. Now, this is what, 30 years ago? You kind of cared about it. I mean, there was a few things like Chinagate or Filegate that you actually, it rose to the level of a gate. The Clinton rape scandals, you say you cared about women and oppression and power over women, but you didn't really care about that. You didn't care about Paula Jones. You didn't care about the most powerful man on the earth exerting his oppressive white privilege power over Lewinsky, a young, impressionable intern. You didn't care about that. You didn't care about Sandy Berger after 9/11. You didn't care that he went in and stole documents from the National Archives, that he put them in his socks and his underpants and left the archives, something that you and I would go to jail for. You didn't care about that story. You didn't care about the fact that he got his national security clearance back. But boy, did you care that George Bush gave a speech with a sign that said "Mission Accomplished" behind him. Oh my gosh, that was the biggest scandal on the planet. When an aircraft carrier who went to war with a mission completed their mission and went home, my gosh, did you care? You didn't care. You still don't care. In fact, you've hired Van Jones. You didn't care that it was Van Jones and his organization that started the entire Bush hates black people and let them die. You didn't care about that. You didn't care about Michael Moore's integrity or hateful rhetoric of Michael Moore or Cindy Sheehan. But boy, oh boy, somebody puts out a campaign piece where they say we're targeting these districts, and it's the most violent, awful rhetoric of all time. Collusion with Russia? Okay, how about this one? Ted Kennedy, at the height of the Cold War, going over and colluding with Russia. You didn't care about that. How about this one? The Secretary of State going around all the laws and selling uranium to Russia. You didn't care about that. But oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Donald Trump? Russia? You loved Russia. For the last 8 years, we've only heard how great of a nation and what a great guy Vladimir Putin was while he was throwing reporters off the roof. He's a great guy. Donald Trump thinks he's a good guy. You didn't care about the fact that Americans were being targeted intentionally by the IRS. You didn't care. You didn't care about Benghazi. You didn't care about the Hillary scandal with all of the emails and all of the secure information that she had to cut and paste to be able to get out of secure locked rooms. You didn't care about that, but oh my gosh, have you heard Valerie Plame? Valerie Plame, oh my gosh, it's the greatest tragedy since Ronald Reagan blew up the moon. Wait a minute, what? You go on and on and on about the dangerous weapons and how the dangerous weapons will fall into the hands of terrorists and killers. Yet you don't care about the Attorney General taking guns and illegally selling them over the border in Fast and Furious. Those guns then fall into the hands of somebody who kills a border guard, which you also don't care about, and are actually used in France by terrorists. Where is the calls for our former attorney general to pay and answer for his crimes? Collusion. It was collusion. Well, could you care? I mean, you know, the guy always seems to, whether it's a haircut or he just wants to talk to somebody, there is a president that always seems to stop all airplane traffic because he wants to have a meeting with somebody or a haircut, but you don't care about that collusion. Did you? Oh, because I know Darth Vader, I mean, Dick Cheney, he was the worst man ever. He was our father. He was the worst. Did you hear about all the no-bid contracts that Dick Cheney gave to Halliburton? Halliburton, they're building the Death Star. Halliburton, no-bid contracts. Dick Cheney, Star Wars, run for your life. But let's not mention that Barack Obama was also giving no-bid contracts to Halliburton. Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. That's okay. Oh, man. But if George Bush ever uses a word with an H in it, I'm going to remind you of the evils of no-bid contracts to Halliburton. By the way, Hillary has her right-hand woman who has deep family ties to the Muslim Brotherhood and some of the most extremist Muslims in the Middle East. Oh, by the way, her freaky husband who always has a wiener in his hand also had Hillary's emails. But I'm sure he's trustworthy. Let's not make anything out about that. Let's just not talk about it. Because if we get into that, we might have to talk about how Hillary was an actual disciple of Saul Alinsky. Saul who? What? Oh, have you seen that new show called Saul? That must be what they're talking about. It's so funny. Or Obama's ties to Reverend Wright, which if you actually look into his life, Reverend Wright is probably the least radical person in his childhood. Childhood? Why would we talk about his childhood? Did you hear that Mitt Romney gave some kid a haircut in 1965? How could you possibly continue to bring this up about Barack Obama's childhood when we have something on Mitt Romney from 1965? A haircut. A dog on the roof. I mean, yes, at the time, everybody was, you know, jumping up and down in the back of the pickup truck, and you could put your dog or your cat, your children without seatbelts, and practically put them on the radio antenna on the hood of the car as you were driving down the highway, and nobody would have said anything in 1965. But how dare you look into the past? Are you a racist? You're a racist, you bigot. Here's one. Something that actually hurt everyday Americans. I promise you, $2,500. Everybody's going to get $2,500 back. You're going to save $2,500 on your health care. You touted that and called everybody a bigot and a racist who said the math doesn't work. Now, maybe you were ahead of us and you were using that Common Core math, and as long as you could show your work, it doesn't matter that your math doesn't work. This is something that actually affected people. You want to tell us about all the people that are going to die How about all the people who have lost their jobs, lost their health care, haven't had a raise since 9/11? You promised them and sold them down the river into the slavery of government health care. Because they're going to save $2,500. Look, the CBO hasn't even scored it yet, but I'm sure this is right. And now it has gone up, not down, up 140%. And you are still selling the lie. So maybe you can understand why Americans don't trust you. Maybe you can understand why, when a guy like Gorka is on TV lying to your face, saying outrageous things, why many Americans are cheering for him. Many of us are outraged by these lies. But we can't cheer for you because we know that you're actually more afraid of Mike Pence. We've heard Al Franken talk about it. Hey, be careful what you wish for. You may not want to impeach him because Mike Pence is worse. You're not actually outraged by Donald Trump's behavior. Many of us, many people who voted for Donald Trump are outraged by his behavior. But they know you'll do this if we dug up John F. Kennedy. You don't care. Millions of Americans have put up with your lies for decades, and you just don't even seem to have a moment of clarity or humility or honesty. You and academia are jamming the word fairness down our throats every day. Yet, let's review that list. Fairness? You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means. As a paid observer of the news and culture and people, forgive me for not jumping to defend Donald Jr.'s actions. But media, shame on you. Forgive me for not seeing things the way you do either. I at least understand why a third of the country is mad and why they look to President Trump as a savior, because it's righteous indignation. At least he'll stand up and call you on your bullcrap. Has he gone too far on that? I think he has. But many Americans haven't seen a raise since 9/11. They're seeing their savings disappear. Why? Because of the government. They're being raped by the education system. The culture is being torn apart. And you don't seem to care that the biggest corporate greed is actually coming from the so-called nonprofits of education that have billions in endowments. And yet, they raise tuition at double the speed of healthcare. Oh, that's just another thing you don't care about. You don't care because you live a life of protected class. Those defending Trump are defending their lifestyle, defending the Western way of life. They're trying to feed their families. They're trying to figure out how they can get coverage for medical care and get a doctor. But just know, somewhere in this country, there are those Americans who are hurting and know the score, but actually want to stop the bickering. And they would if somebody on your side would recognize the sins of your past and apologize. Now this, when it comes to buying or refinancing, you need a different mortgage experience. American Financing is different because of the salary-based mortgage consultants that work for American Financing. They're not going to jam you into something. They're not lying to you because they're getting money from the banks. American Financing. Reverse mortgages, good way to increase your monthly cash flow with no mortgage payment. Call 800-906-2440, 800-906-2440, or AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
We have one!
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. 888-727-BACK.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. So glad that you've tuned in. A lot more to say. Take your phone calls, 888-727-BECK. And the story of Lena Dunham's little puppy dog. Very sad, sad story. If you listen to her, but if you listen to the shelter where she's returning this dog after all the publicity, it's a different story. We'll share that coming up.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Yeah, I think so. Hello, America, and welcome to the program. So should we... Let's see. I got a couple of other things to say to the media. We could do that. We also have an update on the baby up in what's his name? Charlie Gard in England. We could do that, or I have Lena Dunham, who says her dog was abused and she's selling her clothes to benefit Planned Parenthood. Which one do you want?
Who's going to buy those? Ick. We know where they've been. On her. No, thank you.
I don't know.
Which one do you want? She walks around
naked quite a bit, so.
Well, now that we're on it, let's go with Lena Dunham.
Okay, Lena Dunham. Should we start with the clothes to Planned Parenthood? Do we need to know any more about the, she's selling her clothes to benefit Planned Parenthood?
That's a special thing, that slaughtering babies is that important to her. She's actually
the shirt off her back.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Giving them the shirt off her back.
Here's what she's doing. Uh-huh. She's cleaning out her closet. She's a celebrity who has a lot of clothes. She's listening to Oprah Winfrey, who says, if you don't wear something in a year, you just have to get rid of it because you're never going to wear it. So she's just getting rid of her clothes. She's, instead of bagging them up and giving them to Goodwill, she's grabbing headlines because she's donating them to Planned Parenthood. Oh.
It is smart on her behalf, probably.
Yeah, but that's all it is. It's a publicity stunt.
Yes. And I think we can all come together as a nation and say the last thing in the world we want to encourage is her having less clothing.
Yeah.
Please increase the amount of clothing. I would donate. We should all donate clothing to her so she hopefully puts some of it on.
I always thought I was going to hoard all my clothes for my future daughter. And now I understand, especially being a woman with reproductive illness, that I may end up with an adopted son.
Wait.
I may end up with a daughter who doesn't identify with her gender at birth. You can't,
all the problems.
You can't live for the future that does not exist yet. I have to take all this good fashion and fortune and I have to spread it.
It really is a publicity stunt, isn't it?
God. Okay.
And she's looking for some good publicity because there's been some stories about her lately.
Yeah.
That have not been so positive.
Yeah. Like this one? Try this one. Lena Dunham wanted her fans to know what had happened to her dog, Lammy. Who's got a little dog, Lammy? Who's got a little dog, Lammy? Ms. Dunham.
I think Lena does.
Ms. Dunham, the Lammy. And so she adopted a puppy, and she's like, "Is she like a little lammy? I want to snuggle with a little lammy."
That's cute.
She adopted Lammy in January 2013. The cream-colored mutt stopped making appearances in Miss Dunham's social media feeds, replaced, it seemed, by two fresh-faced poodles, Susan and Karen. Okay, you went from Lammy? Who's your little lammy? To Agnes? Well, I'm really not their owner. You can't really own Susan or Karen.
I just don't like that she's using gender-specific names. I mean, who knows how these dogs identify?
Exactly right.
So on June 21st, Ms. Dunham disclosed on Instagram that Lammy suffered terrible... I can barely say it. Suffered terrible abuse as a puppy, and that because of that abuse, it has resulted in behavioral problems. So she had to get rid of Lammy. I had to let Lammy go.
And Lammy was like 65 big, publicity stunts earlier. where she made such a huge deal about this stupid dog that she adopted. And it was her saving animals and what an, you know, she adopted it from a, you know, no kill shelter.
Oh yeah. No, Lammy was going to be killed.
And she saved the life of this dog.
Right. The shelter saved the life of the dog because it's a no kill shelter. It's not going to let little Lammy go. Little Lammy is special. Little Lammy is no different than you. Little Lammy is just as smart as any human. Little Lammy is not looking for an owner, is looking for a loving home. And Lena Dunham was there with her clothes to adopt Little Lammy. But Little Lammy had been abused so many times by three. By three, not one, not two, but three owners. And Little Lammy, who was so cute in all those social media posts, they got little Lena and Little Lammy all snuggling up next to each other for all those media posts and all that attention and all the great things that she did to help Little Lammy. It must have been horrible, the abuse. Well, actually, Robert Vasquez, the guy who runs the shelter, the Bark, B-A-R-C, Bark.
Oh, I get it, because it's like a doggy noise. Yes. Yeah.
He works at the Bark shelter where Ms. Lenham got Little Lammy, said, quote, "When she adopted a dog from us, it wasn't crazy. I mean, I have pictures of the dog loving on Lena and her mom, which is weird because dogs don't usually do that if it was abused. Apparently, the shelter wants to know where Ms. Dunham got the information of the three owners. Quote, when the dog was here at Bark, where he lived with us for just under a month when he was adopted, he was a very mild-mannered, very well-behaved dog. There's no sign of bad temperament or any kind of aggression."
So Little Lammy hadn't been abused by three owners?
Well, the place where she adopted the dog had no Bark.
Because it's like the dog noise, guys.
Oh man, that kills me every time. Bark has no information about three owners.
No.
Has no information about abuse from three owners.
Mm-mm.
But that's because they never got to know Little Lammy. Mm-hmm. Little Lammy has been talking to Lena because dogs can talk too. Dogs are people too. And Lena has been listening and hearing the horror stories of Little Lammy. And now she got Susan and Karen, who also, not a lot of people know this, Susan and Karen are both dog psychiatrists. And Susan had Lammy lay down on the little doggy couch there. Karen was taking notes. And Susan was talking to Little Lammy and said, "How does this make you feel? When you have to eat your food like some oppressed, caged animal, eating your food off the floor." You know, she puts a dish, it's not even really a dish. It's just a stupid bowl, but not a bowl that she eats in. Have her eat her ice cream out of that bowl. No, she won't do it. How does that make you feel, Lammy? And that's when Lammy broke down and said, "I've had three owners who abused me so badly that I act out sometimes and I pee on the carpet and I bite Lena. It's not because I hate her. It's because I've been abused."
Is it possible the dog made up the story to get out of that house?
Yes. If you were a dog, wouldn't you?
Yes. Bring me back. Give me to the kill shelter this time.
She keeps walking around naked. She's got her clothes on. I got to get out of here.
The first new few nights I had him, it was just the two of us. He's perfect, she wrote. Quiet, limp as a sack of laundry. Lammy kisses me softly whenever he has the chance. Lammy's behavior shortly after had trouble being alone. He barked at night. Whew, that's never happened.
Never.
Never happened. A dog that barks at night? That's never happened.
Not with a normal dog.
No. No. That's why people don't get the shelter named Bark.
Oh, it's like the dog noise.
Yeah. Well, a dog noise that dogs never make. They never really make that. No. Only bad dogs bark. Only dogs that deserve to be gassed because they've been oppressed for so long. There's your Lena Dunham update. Probably the update, not just for the day, but for the rest of our lives. And now this. When was the last time you heard about a company that gives you a lifetime warranty, excellent customer service, and 12 months interest-free? Liberty Safe, great service, best-built safes on the planet, best security you can provide for the family, and now July 17th, you can save hundreds of dollars on dozens of Liberty Safes during their huge Independence Day sales event. Savings of up to $679 off. That's libertysafe.com. Or come in and stop at one of their 350 dealers nationwide for huge discounts on all Liberty Safes. You can find one near you. Liberty Safes, the number one selling safe for a reason. And now they're even easier and cheaper to own. Liberty Safe, save big with their Independence Day sales event. And when you're at Liberty Safe, check out their special financing with 12 months interest-free or a low monthly payment on approved credit. Only at libertysafe.com. Their Independence Day sale is happening now until July 17th. It's libertysafe.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
So, you know what it is with Lena Dunham was? She's not married, right?
No.
So she didn't have a...
Oh, because Lambie bit the boyfriend, so I don't think they're married.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Also probably the boyfriend, because it was her dog, she probably didn't have a boyfriend that would clean up the messes because he probably pooped in the house.
What do you mean?
Well, everybody knows that, I mean, if it's your dog, then you're supposed to clean up the messes in the house. That's sure if you dog. See it, if you're the first to see it. Am I right, Pat?
Yes, you yes. are, Glenn. You're right. Absolutely
like
right.
You didn't see when your dog...
Like the other day.
Right.
When I was turning on the waterfall of our pool.
Turning on the waterfall of your pool.
I noticed something that I'm not sure what it was.
All right.
But it may have been the dog poop that my wife later found. And I...
Don't remember it. You ignored
because
it.
I was pretty sure that it's just probably a rock formation, a new rock formation.
It is funny because I have never walked by a pile or a piddle in the house and then thought, I didn't see that.
I didn't see it.
And then you'll hear.
And then about 15 minutes later, yeah. I hear my wife say, oh, Belle!
Yeah.
That was the name of our
dog.
And
then you'll say...
And I said, oh, no.
What happened? Oh, my gosh.
She pooped out here by the pool.
Oh no.
And you found that just now?
Oh.
That's unfortunate.
I wish I would have found it this time.
I would have
picked it up.
Been right on that.
Yeah.
Been right on it.
That's responsible. I like it.
Right. So maybe she was the one, unfortunately, that continued to find the poop.
That's very possible.
I don't know how my wife does it. She's always the first to find the poop.
She's like a detective almost.
Right.
You know?
Right. My nose, I think, has also gone because I've walked in after she's discovered poop that I have walked through that room several times.
And never saw it.
Never saw it, never smelled it. And then I think it's because then you walk in and you're like, what happened?
And, you know what it is? It's like a sixth sense.
Yes.
That these women
yes.
have.
Yes. That's incredible.
It's horrible.
But, you know, it is an advantage of guys to be generally so oblivious about all of our surroundings.
Right. Yes. Let's keep that to ourselves. How many times? Or a hypothetical situation about some guy.
Others.
Not us, but others. One guy we might have read about.
Right. Exactly. how many times have you had a new, trinket in the house that's on a shelf?
Yeah.
And You don't, of course, you walk by it how many times? 100?
Yeah,
500? Before you never notice it?
You don't notice it.
And it's like everyone, then like 6 months later, you'll be like, oh, wow, look at that.
Right.
Where did that come from? And she'll say, I bought that not 6 months, but 2 years ago.
Right.
And you didn't even know.
Right. Or some unloving dolts of husbands don't notice when they get their hair cut.
Right.
Or dyed. Or completely shaved off for a couple of days.
Yeah, for charity.
And then she'll go, you haven't noticed I'm bald.
Right.
And you'll go, it looks wonderful. I didn't want to say anything because it looks so wonderful.
And I'm glad
I didn't want to objectify you.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's not about appearance.
By the
way,
I did not smell anything by the front door. What?
I don't think you necessarily want to point out areas you haven't smelled things. I don't think that's a good, direct.
Oh, my gosh. What, honey?
What happened?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, again?
That dog.
Oh, I hate that.
Oh, that dog.
It's to the point where... Oh, wait.
I'm glad I'm not the only one. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
You are, if you're implying that that is done.
No, I'm not the only non-observant husband.
Right,
around.
Okay.
Right,
what I meant to say.
Let's be honest about it. We are not, none of us are skilled in cleanliness.
Right.
And therefore, if we were to clean it up, it would be done in a less efficient manner.
Amen. Have you ever tried to wrap a Christmas present?
Exactly. We don't do that, right? Are we good at that? No.
No, we're
so
not.
So this
Could
is a situation.
We learn faster after 20 years of, you know, her trying to teach us? Sure.
Sure.
Maybe.
Maybe.
No. Maybe some freak of nature could, but we can't.
This is really part of intelligence.
Seems almost as if we get worse every year.
Huh. This is part of intelligent design. God has said, look, make their nasal passages less sensitive.
Right,
so that this very dirty and unsanitary thing can be removed properly.
Right. Man and his dog. We love them, but we don't have the olfactory stuff, the factory of the olives in our nose.
Right.
That will...
It detects that kind of
thing.
Thank
you. Mm-hmm. There's no Detective Olaf in our nose that tells us that there's something to watch or clean up or whatever. Yeah, whatever. Oh, crap. Did that happen again?
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
Ah, fresh basil fettuccine pasta with sweet corn. Mmm. How about chili butter steaks with Parmesan potatoes?
Chili butter steaks.
Okay.
How about a seared chicken with creamy pasta salad or sweet potato wedges?
Oh, my gosh. Lammy.
Yes.
Lammy would love that.
Lammy would love that. They're all coming up in the next couple weeks from Blue Apron. Mm. Blue Apron is we make meals from them all the time because they deliver the best, freshest ingredients right to your home in a box in the exact amount you need.
That is great.
So there's no waste. No waste at all.
None.
Even though, Glenn, you'd just obviously eat all the servings. There wouldn't be any waste there. But
don't know what you're talking about.
So,
wait a minute. Have you shifted the fat joke to me?
Sorry. Well, congratulations, Jeffy. We're talking about less than $10 per person per meal. These are gourmet meals that you can actually make. If I can make them, any dolt can make them. You can check out this week's menu. Get your first three meals free, but with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/stew. blueapron.com/stew. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, America. Welcome to, what is it, day 6, day 7 of the Trump hysteria. We'll get into that here with more for the media in just a second. And I think a way to move forward also, it's like Charlie Gard's parents have stormed out of the courtroom in the UK. They were hoping for a fresh start. Did they get it? We go to London and a good friend, Bobby Schindler. Bobby Schindler is the brother of Terry Schiavo and has been working on cases like this, and when he found out about it, flew over to help the parents and
help try to wake the media and wake the people of England to this horrible, horrendous tragedy that is going on with Charlie Gard. We'll get his view live from London right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
The parents of a baby that has been born with a rare disease return to court today in London, hoping for a fresh analysis of their wish to take their critically ill child to the United States for treatment. The United States has doctors that will treat. They have money to treat. The Vatican and the Pope have said, we'll give the parents and the baby a passport for the Vatican so we can take the child out and transfer him even to the Vatican Hospital in Rome. For some reason, the government healthcare system, and I hate to break it to you, but this is what we spoke of when we talked about death panels. The court system, along with the doctors, have decided there's no chance for this baby to live. And even if they have the money, they are not allowed to take the child out of the hospital and get any treatment any place else. I have to tell you, if that were my child, I said yesterday that I would relinquish my citizenship in that country and I would never return home again. I said that to Jason, a friend of ours, yesterday. He said, are you kidding me? I'm sorry, but I would grab a gun and I would free my child from the hospital. You wouldn't get away with that, and that would be a very bad idea. But wouldn't you feel that way? We have Bobby Schindler on. He is Terry Schiavo's brother. He founded the Terry Schiavo Life and Hope Network. If you believe in life and you know what's going on, you're paying attention at all, get involved at lifeandhope.com, lifeandhope.com. Bobby, welcome to the program.
Hey, Glenn. Thanks for having me. It's good to talk to you.
You are in London now?
I was over there for about 4 days. I had to get back. I got back on Tuesday back okay. into the States, but I was over there and I visited with the parents for a few days, and I also had the opportunity to go and visit with little Charlie.
So, Bobby, what is happening with Charlie? How are the parents, first of all?
Well, as you can imagine, Glenn, I mean, this is just day-to-day torture for them, not knowing if today or tomorrow is going to be the day where the hospital removes his ventilator. So you can tell it's taking its toll, but they're a strong couple. They're very humble. They're fighting for the life of their child. And I think why they're getting so much support is because parents can relate to what they're going through, as you just alluded to when you were just talking about the case.
Bobby, what do they do for a living? What kind of people are they? Are they upper class, middle class, lower class? Who are they?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Just blue collar. I think Connie was just a stay-at-home mom, and I'm not exactly sure what the father was doing, but he hasn't worked in several weeks now, just really being attentive to the struggle that they're going through. And I simply could sympathize and empathize just this turmoil and just this, as I said, this torture they're experiencing right now.
Bobby, I remember when we were in Tampa together, and at first I was on the other side of your sister's argument, and then I actually did my homework and woke up and met you guys, and I'll never forget the look in your mother's eyes and your father's eyes, and even you, for a long time even after, you were tired, the whole family, your sister, everybody, just tired. And I remember in Tampa how the sides had been drawn and the people who were chanting for your sister to die
It was surreal. It was almost, quite honestly, like what's happening now between, you know, political rivals, where just the hatred on one side was so strong. Is that happening with his parents, or how are the people in London and England responding to this?
Well, first I got to say, Glenn, that this type of thing that that Charlie's parents are going through is happening here in the States. We've been doing this for 12 years after Terry died, and we're seeing this erosion of our medical rights, parental rights. It's taking place more and more across countless healthcare facilities in our country. But there's a disconnect, Glenn. I was in the hearing on Monday, and I was watching these attorneys for the hospital argue their case, and
what is their case?
Completely unsympathetic, Glenn. It was just cold-heartedness, and it was the same type of position that I saw taken with the people that were representing Michael trying to end my sister's life. And I don't know how to explain it other than just a disconnect, I think, to really the value of life, or the dignity of life, or the preciousness of this little child and the treatment that's available for him.
So here, I mean, in your sister's case, and I don't mean to be callous, but we've had these kinds of conversations before, and you've heard them a million times. In your sister's case, people could see themselves as your sister and say, I wouldn't want to live that way. And that was the thing that motivated so many people, is I wouldn't want to live that way. And even though your family offered to take her into the home to care for her, to cover all the costs, you wanted nothing but your sister to have a chance to have therapy and to live. People picked sides because they were afraid of having to linger themselves, I really believe. Here, the family has great doctors overseas. They have the money. They have everything. What is the, and usually people don't say, look at a child and say, oh, we got to kill him. What's the emotional attachment that the hospital is using to sell this killing?
Well, perhaps I'm oversimplifying it, Glenn, and this is just my opinion, but if you look at, they diagnosed this boy in the beginning as having no chance and no treatment was going to help him. Now a doctor has come along, and I think there's more than one doctor has come along and said that there is treatment available that will help them, that will help this little boy. So now what happened? Now that puts the hospital in a terrible and very dangerous situation, because if they release him and they allow this treatment allow the parents to provide this treatment and Charlie improves, well, then now they have to sit back and defend themselves why they made this poor diagnosis in the first place. So I think they're scared to death of him possibly getting help or improving from treatment that's available after they basically said this poor boy is suffering, nothing's ever going to help him, and that's the reason why he has his life.
I mean, Mike, let me just play devil's advocate. Talking to Bobby Schindler, Terry Schiavo's brother, who is the founder of lifeandhope.com and deals with these issues, that's a pretty horrible way to look at doctors. I mean, are doctors really at that place with children?
Well, this is my interpretation, but it makes sense to me. And also, think about it this way, Glenn. If they are wrong and Charlie does improve from treatment out there, think about all the other families now that are being cared for in that hospital. They're going to start questioning, perhaps they don't agree with the diagnosis that they're getting for their child, because it is a children's hospital. So they now might have to face more and more parents questioning diagnoses that are coming from the doctors at that hospital. So I think there's a lot at stake here, and I think it's in the hospital's best interest not to see Charlie get better. And that's the only way I can explain why they're fighting so hard to kill this kid when there's treatment. Glenn, when I was fighting for my sister and we were on the media, I got to tell you, most of the media was taking Michael's side and asking those questions you were just raising. When I was doing media interviews over in London this week, and I did quite a few of them, they were on our side. I mean, they were on, not my side, they were on the parents' side and Charlie's side. Nobody could understand why the hospital, they were all defending Charlie. So the interviews were pretty easy because the media wasn't asking me any of the tough questions like they were for my sister. And they were in agreement for wanting to get Charlie the help that's out there for him.
Wow. Wow.
Bobby, you said a minute ago that this is happening in the United States. Can you, how often, why aren't we hearing about it? Can you give us some examples of this happening?
Well, it's obvious, Glenn. I mean, you could probably guess why we're seeing this happening. Hospitals now, and again, I'm oversimplifying it, and I'm not trying to paint a broad brush, but I think hospitals now are acting in their best interest rather than patients. And I think we're seeing values imposed by ethics committees and hospitals. And I think it's a lot cheaper, Glenn. If they look at someone that comes in with a significant brain injury, for example, and they look at this person and they say to themselves, boy, he's going to need months of care and it's going to be expensive. And we don't even know if he's going to improve or how much he's going to improve, at least from the onset. And if they're in a position where they can stop treatment, which they are today, if you're looking at it from a purely financial point of view, the hospital's best interest is that, okay, let's end this person's life. It's going to cost a lot of money. He's not going to get much better anyway. So then they go in and they tell the parents, they give him this poor diagnosis, and they say, look, you don't want to end up like a Terry Schiavo, so to speak. Mm. You know, why don't you do what's best for this person, put him out of his suffering, and end his life? And they have the legal means now to do this. And
have you,
and I can go into reasons.
Have you run into people who have had your sister used by doctors like that?
Yes, there was an article actually, and oh, people gosh. Tell me this all the time. Well, I shouldn't say all the time. I hear it occasionally where they do bring up my sister. And there was actually an article where I read it one time where the family said that the doctors told them that your son or daughter, whoever it was at the time, is going to end up like a Terry Schiavo, and it's in your best interest to end and terminate that person's life.
How does that does that make you and your sister feel?
Well, I think it just shows you just the biases and the way we've been desensitized, I think, to the value of human life. When we look at somebody with a brain injury and we want to just decide to end their life rather than to care for them, it's just systemic to the problem we have in our culture today.
Is this a cultural thing or is this a socialized medicine thing?
Well, I think it's a combination, Glenn. I think there's a lot of dynamics occurring today. And again, you know, you look at the food and water issue and how it's been reclassified, food and water now is medical treatment rather than basic care. And all these changes that have been made in our healthcare system today that have put more and more people at risk. And we're not even aware. I mean, people walk into a hospital situation and they don't even understand that hospitals now are in positions to make treatment decisions rather than families. Depending on the situation. And I don't know if you saw recently what they tried to pass in Oregon, where they tried to pass, and this was just the past couple months, where they tried to make spoon feeding for those that weren't able to feed themselves with a spoon as a form of medical treatment. Up to the facility or the, I mean, this is where we're heading. This constant push to impose values, you know, on people rather than family members, on what's their best treatment options, and make it easier and easier to end people's lives because of cost.
Bobby,
it was the lobby industry that was pushing this in Oregon to try and get this legislation passed.
You go to lifeandhope.com. What can people do to help? What are you doing, and how can people get involved?
I think the way people need to help themselves is become patient advocates, understand your rights. If you are and appoint someone who is a strong, we need heroic advocates, Glenn, that are going to stand in and defend you if you're in a situation where you need certain treatment and the hospital is pushing back. You need to know your rights and how to defend loved ones if something like this happens to you. Because I'm telling you, and again, there's some, please don't get me wrong, there's some wonderful facilities out there, and we deal with great doctors all the time and nurses, but there is this shift where we are now making quality of life judgments, or I should say the healthcare system is making quality of life judgments, whether someone should live or die based on their quality of life. And we need to understand that this is happening, and we need to know how to defend ourselves if it does.
If you'd like to get involved in Stand for Life, because it may be you that can't lift the spoon and they deem that as medical treatment, go to lifeandhope.com. That's lifeandhope.com. Bobby, best of luck. It's always good to talk to you. Thank you so much. God bless.
Thanks, Glenn. God bless you.
You bet. This guy is one of the most remarkable people I've ever met, really, truly. And I just don't know how to help, because so many people just don't want to hear about this stuff. And
he is on the front lines every day, and he has not stopped. His life changed.
Yeah, it has been now forever.
It's been forever. Yeah, his whole life now has been dedicated because his sister was under attack. And this whole family has just, what they have endured and what they have done because of it is remarkable. You want to stand with some really good people who are fighting, go to lifeandhope.com. Now this, don't spend another night second-guessing your home safety. Right now, SimpliSafe is having its biggest ever summer sale. When you install your SimpliSafe home security system, you're arming your home with powerful sensors that actually tell you if a door opens or a window breaks. There's a 105-decibel siren that alerts you to the first sign of trouble. And you also have a dedicated team that is their security professionals that are monitoring your home, and they will call the police immediately if anything is triggered, 24/7. With SimpliSafe, there are no long-term contracts. That monitoring that calls police is $14.99 a month, so it's no big deal. And because there's no contracts, if you are $15 short next month, is going to be a tight one, just say, I don't need it this month. Pick it up the next month. You design the security system with their help to make sure that you're completely covered, but you're smart enough to figure this out. You buy it and it's unbelievably inexpensive, no contract, and $14.99 a month for the monitoring. And right now they're having their biggest summer sale ever and $100 off the already low prices at simplysafebeck.com. No wiring. It is the technology of the future that will keep your home Simply Safe. Go to simplysafebeck.com. That's simplysafebeck.com.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
You know, I feel so bad because every time I talk to Bobby Schindler, I think to myself, I have got to do more to help them. I have got to do more to help them. And I just don't know what else I can do. And I don't know. I mean, damn that John Huntsman. John Huntsman Sr. told me one time, I said, I want you to teach me how to be charitable, because I grew up in a family that didn't have any money. And I wanted to make sure that I was spending my money in charitable ways and giving. And he said, I said, I'll give to your hospital if you teach me how to be charitable. And he said, oh, I'll make that deal. And he said, here's lesson number one. You have to care about all of it. You can't care just about cancer. You can't care just about abuse. You can't care just about, you have to care about the entire human condition.
Jeez, that's hard. There's a lot.
But every time I hear from Bobby, this is such an important.
He's so dedicated to it.
Oh my gosh.
We talked to him. It's been probably a couple of years, right?
Yeah.
That last time we talked to him. And yeah, he was involved in that case where the young man came out of a coma after 12 years. Remember that? He was now 24.
Yeah.
He went into a coma when he was 12. And
is that Ghost Boy? That's another
Ghost
one.
Boy.
Yeah, Ghost Boy. Remember, we had him on the air.
Yeah, that's right.
And
he
I don't think he could walk, right?
No, he was in a wheelchair.
But he was
but he could talk.
Really bright.
He had all his brain functions.
Yeah, and really super, super bright.
Yeah.
You know, dancing circles around us. And had such a full life and was aware the entire time, as the doctors, I think it was in England, were like, yeah, put him out of his memory. And he's like,
no,
I'm in here.
Yeah, he's trapped inside. And there's another story, too, of a guy who was in a coma for 19 years, came out of it, and now he's talking and conversing with people.
Amazing.
Amazing stuff.
Doctors don't know everything.
That's right.
Get involved. Please help Charlie Gard and go to lifeandhope.com.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Last night I was watching Dana Loesch on the Blaze TV, and they were having a conversation, and it was an inside joke, but quite a funny inside joke. She asks, I think it was Doc Thompson, who does mornings on the Blaze Radio, asked him a question, and he said, you know, it's like a stage 5 tribe.
And then Allie jumps in and says, I was thinking the same thing. And Lawrence jumps in and he's like, yes. And we got to, and they're all talking about this. And Dana, like they're all speaking a foreign language, said, what the hell are you guys talking about? And she apparently is the only one in the building who has not read the 500 books I have assigned.
And somehow I like Dana even more.
Even more. It was very, very funny. But Dana, you should read the books. We were talking about tribal leadership, which I think is not only a great book for management, but also a really good book if you're trying to figure out the country and trying to figure out where people are standing and what's happening to them. Let me ask you this. People are so concerned about healthcare. It's supposed to come out today. They're so concerned about healthcare, rightly so. Repeal the damn thing and then work on reforming health insurance.
Seems
the
so
health
easy.
Insurance industry. It is so easy. Get the collusion and the corruption out of the health insurance industry. And help people. And they're not, and nobody's talking about it. And the press is, what are we on? Day 671 of the Trump. I mean, they're not paying attention to anything else. And last night they were talking about this on TV again, and nobody's talking about the issues the average person is thinking about. If I may be bold enough to give the president some advice, the president needs to get on television humbly, truly humbly, and then back this action, back this these words up with action and say something along these lines. My fellow Americans, by now, everybody knows the situation with my son, Donald Jr. And obviously, I stand behind my son and I love my son dearly. But we all know he made a serious mistake in judgment. And we can write this off as he wanted his dad to win. We can write this off as he didn't want Hillary Clinton to win. But he arranged a meeting with a foreign operative. But he did it because we could write it off as we know that Hillary Clinton is corrupt. And in retrospect, he shouldn't have done that. But perhaps maybe the press should look at themselves and say, do we think that the same thing about Donald Trump? We know that he's corrupt. Anyway, I don't want to talk about the press. I want to talk about me and my son. He arranged that meeting. He did it. And by his own releasing of the details finally on Monday, he amplified that error because he didn't own up to it until the last minute. Here's what I really want to say to you. The office of the presidency has to be above reproach. And we have to strive to uphold the ideals of our founding fathers because that's what makes America great again. What makes America great again is you, the people, upholding the ideals, and some of them are just fairness and hard work. You just want a fair shake and hard work. And I would like to call a truce to this nonsense. Let's just start over. Could we do that? Making America great again, which was my goal during the campaign, should be our highest aspiration for all of us. And I know we'll disagree on policies, but can we start over again? Because that's what makes America great as well. A chance to start over. So let me tell you that we can't just start over and wipe the slate clean. Consequences have to happen. And that's why it saddens me to announce today that even though I know Donald Jr. made these decisions believing that they were in the best interest of the country and his dad, they're unacceptable and they carry consequences. And that's why my son is not going to have a role whatsoever at the White House. I've also asked for the resignations of Jared Kushner, who I also think is a good man, and Paul Manafort, who also attended the meeting in question. He's gone. Now let's move forward. I am going to demand the absolute highest standards of integrity and worth ethic from myself. We just met in the White House, all hands on deck, and I said, if you've ever even watched Dr. Zhivago, make sure the FBI knows about it. All those who work here and advise me, we can't allow ourselves to be sidetracked on an important course. The job that the American people sent us to do is far too important. Not only are we being sidetracked on not getting things done, but the media is not paying attention to major stories. The world is on fire. Mark my words, I promised you during the campaign, we will make America great again, and I'm more committed to that goal than ever before. I had a bunch of friends pray on me on Monday, and some people said, look at that, those hypocrites, how can they pray on him? They can pray on me because I'm going to try to look at my past mistakes and learn from them. But we have to be committed to the goal of saving America and the Western way of life. That includes me and the media. And to all of those people who voted for me, I'm sorry this happened. I'm sorry that this year of these accusations could have been cut off last summer. I wanted you to know I'm not going to betray the trust you placed on me. And for those who didn't vote on me, I want to work hard to earn your trust. And I hope we can unite and find some common ground. We're not going to agree on everything. But we can agree on this. Everybody wants our nation to succeed. So let us bind up the wounds. Let's allow ourselves to heal. Let's stop the rancor. And that begins tonight with me. That doesn't mean we're not going to engage in spirited debate. But we do have to understand we all have differences, and we all share the common goal of strengthening the United States of America. That's what united our founders on, even though they had very different methods and opinions. But they knew their opponents were still all patriots who just simply wanted the best for their country. Even those who argued for a king after we had won our independence from a king. Let's follow that example, and let's work together, because together we can make America great again. Mr. President, Americans love a redemption story. They love it. They love a rise from rags to riches, but once you're rich, they want to tear you down. And they almost seemingly at times root for your downfall. But the amazing thing is once you fall, if you don't get bitter, if you stand up and go, wow, did I learn an amazing lesson? They will root for your success. They want redemptive stories. They want to believe in what makes America great. Just another thing in the long, long list. Being able to start all over, being able to mend fences, to pick yourself back up and start fresh. Please, Mr. President, use this opportunity not to deepen the divide, but to be better than the media. Sponsor this half hour is Blinds.com. Don't call something a dream. Call it a plan. Don't let your dreams or your plans slip away. If you have a dream, make it into a plan to update your home and to brighten your home. You will not believe the difference. Just shade, shutters,
or drapes or blinds will make in your home. Blinds.com, they have the biggest selection, the best prices, and the best customer service. If you accidentally mismeasure or pick the wrong color, they're going to remake the blinds for free, and they'll even send you free samples to make sure everything looks as good in person as it does online. They even have free home decorators that can get with you online almost instantaneously. You don't have to wait. You don't have to go to a store where the guy who works in the lumber department with the apron comes over and is also helping you pick out blinds. You don't have to make appointments. You go online and find the right window treatment for your house. Now through July 18th, you can save up to 30% on select products at Blinds.com. Plus, you'll save an additional 5% with the promo code BECK on whatever you buy. Blinds.com. Save up to 30% on select products and promo code BECK for an additional 5% off. Now through July 18th at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply. Promo code BECK at Blinds.com.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Sign up for the newsletter and get all the info you need to know at glennbeck.com.
There's a very important debate raging now.
Well, this is absolutely stunning to me.
This is one of the things that the media is not covering because they're obsessed with Donald Trump.
I am completely stunned by this. Mm-hmm. They released a map today. And they do these maps every once in a while. What do people call things in certain areas?
They just did a map like this for the word soda. What is soda? Yeah. What is soda called in?
I swear to you,
it's pop in the West. Okay, some of the Northwest.
I don't know if anybody else experienced this, but I grew up in the Pacific Northwest. Mm-hmm. We not only called it pop, but there were times that Montana. We just called it Coke.
Yeah.
What would you like? Coke.
Yeah. And Coke was
anything. Seven Up.
Yes.
It was like you want some. Yes. What would you like to drink? Coke. Do you have Seven Up?
It was like Band Aid.
Yeah. It was.
You mean an adhesive strip?
Right. So you did. Right. Shut up. So is that you experienced that too, Pat?
Yeah.
Because I've said that too. To people, and they're like, "No way!" And I'm "We used to say Coke."
Yes.
Anyway,
this is completely insane to me because I grew up in the Northeast, born in New York. I grew up in Connecticut mainly. They are sneakers. That's what you put on your foot when you go to the gym.
Nope.
Or you go play sports, okay?
What's your little map?
Tennis shoes.
My map says is that a little bit of Southern Florida and the Northeast call it sneakers.
Wow.
Almost everywhere else in the entire country calls them tennis shoes.
Thank you.
Now, tennis shoes are a specific thing that they sell to play tennis in.
I know, but back in the day... People didn't wear sneakers all the time.
Right.
We didn't wear them. You had tennis shoes, or they were Converse.
And there weren't specialty shoes like that.
You just had, everybody had
tennis
Converse.
Shoes, you used them for basketball, you used them for running, you used them
for everything.
Tennis.
But again, this is why this would make sense in 1912, right? Like when if it was 1912, it would make sense. There are those shoes now. So when you go in to buy basketball shoes, you say, yeah, where are your tennis shoes? That doesn't make any sense to me at all.
That's what you do.
Yeah, I do.
That is absolutely crazy.
I'm wearing tennis shoes right now.
Yes, I would consider those tennis shoes. I'd consider these tennis shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
They're not tennis shoes. Yeah, you would not play tennis in them.
They are tennis shoes.
Yeah, they're tennis
shoes. No, they're not.
Tennis shoes or any shoe like this.
Sneakers.
These, I don't know either. These are not sneakers.
I'm not sneaking around in these at all.
Sneakers.
But like,
first of all, why are they called sneakers?
That's
dumb.
It is dumb.
Where are you sneaking? I'm not.
I'm using them so I can burgle my father's house who's out playing tennis.
But it's like a generic word that means the thing. Like, for example, if I were to say, hey, I would like a beverage. And you said, and we wanted to go in and buy a Coca-Cola, and we wanted to say, I would like a beverage. And you said, I'd like some orange juice. Well, the orange juice isn't Coca-Cola. They're both beverages.
No, I know. That's why. But again, I grew up with beverage was Coke.
Yes.
Anything that had fizz in it was Coke.
Beverage is soda.
And then you would narrow it down to like a Coke.
You'd like a Coke 7-Up? A 7-Up Coke?
Yeah. It was like
that's
pop.
That's insanity, though. You could say it's traditional, but it's insane.
You felt that way, too?
Yes.
You
grew up like, if you same, said the Coke, the waitress beverage. Would say, what kind?
Yeah, what kind?
What kind?
Or if you beverage.
Said,
what? Beverage is not an orange juice.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Beverage is sodas.
Yeah.
No, it is not. Beverages are all drinks. beverages. That's I was making. That was a fake example. That,
you are. I lived in Connecticut.
We use words that meant the thing they are. That's crazy. I know.
I would talk to my auntie. Of course, my auntie. She lived in southern Connecticut, and those southern people are rednecks.
First of all, I lived in southern Connecticut. Second of all, you really want to get into elitism talk with me? Is that what you want, Mr. Beck? Maybe we could discuss it at the auction later today. But I mean, it's just as simple. You should use the word that it is. Now, I will say there's some exceptions to this. Chicago and Cincinnati call them gym shoes.
Yeah.
Just Chicago, not the rest of Illinois.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Not the rest of Ohio. Just why does that make sense? Just these two cities on the whole map.
Those were gym shoes.
Those make sense. Gym shoes make sense. Tennis shoes do not make sense. Unless, I don't know, they're tennis shoes.
Nobody played tennis.
But that's why it's so bizarre. No one plays tennis anymore.
I grew up in Seattle before you had indoor tennis pavilions. So nobody played tennis where I grew up, except the really rich people who had tennis courts.
In Connecticut.
By the way, Hawaiians, they just call them shoes. Which is really kind of the best one.
It really is.
Like, they've kind of nailed it. Shoes, and then you can go from there to category.
Do you have categories? Why wear shoes if you live in Hawaii? Seriously.
That's true. They're like, oh my God, someone's wearing shoes!
Shoes!
Look, shoes! Shoes! I see them, they're on his feet!
Glenn Beck. Mercury.
So if you're going to do some business travel, you might poke around to like 20 million websites and try to find what's the best price.
Like if you were taking business travel to go search for a new job.
Yes, that could be something that you might want to do.
Or you might.
Especially in that scenario, you might want to, I don't know, save money because you're about to get fired, apparently. go to upside.com because this is the place. First of all, it's the fastest search. Second of all, they're going to save you a lot of money. And third of all, they're going to give you gift cards.
I'm telling you, this is the best thing. If you run a business, please go to upside.com. And if you just want gift cards yourself, go to Upside. This is the best service. I think we advertise to save money, lots and lots of money, and everybody wins.
And you can be a little bit flexible. They'll save you even more. Upside's the real deal. Go to upside.com today. When you use promo code Beck, you're guaranteed to get at least a $100 Amazon gift card for your first trip. It's code Beck. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details. It's upside.com. Go there now.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, America. Welcome to Thursday. I have an amazing story that the press is so busy with Donald Trump that at least I think this is one of the most incredible stories I have ever read in a very positive way. Maybe it's disappointing to some, I don't know, but I can't wait to share this. I found it on some geek sites. Time Magazine also has it, but it's been buried everywhere else if reported. And this seems pretty important. Kind of like, hey, the flying car is on sale now. This is kind of a big deal. I'll share it with you right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program. Yeah.
Okay, do you remember when the Segway first came out? And Dean Kamen, was the guy.
Yes.
And the hype was, for weeks, they said,
this is going to change civilization as we know it.
Right. They made a big deal. All the people who have seen this. It is. They say it is game changing. It will
change mall security.
It did
for all time,
and that's it.
So,
and they said everyone will have one. It will change, transportation. It will change fundamentally. And I remember that week where they were going to announce it,
we were on the air for days,
yes,
speculating, yeah, what could it be?
It's going to revolutionize cities.
Oh, and it was like Bill Gates, Steve, yes, Jobs.
Yes. They were all concurring because they knew what it was.
They all left, yeah, Dean Kamen's office. I remember reading this in like Time Magazine and everything else. Everyone who has left Dean Kamen's office says the same thing. Revolutionary. It will change everything.
What?
Ridiculous.
And so we had come up with all kinds of, what could that possibly be? And when they came out with,
it's a scooter that doesn't fall over.
What the hell is that?
So disappointing.
Oh my gosh.
One
when they came out
the
and said,
it's the Segway.
Shut up. It's a joke, right? Is there a camera? What is this?
They're going to say they're going to redesign cities.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
They did.
Yes.
They will redesign cities because of this invention.
Mm-hmm.
None of that happened.
Well, I mean, a couple of postal workers have got some nice ones.
That's crazy.
True.
It is really crazy. Okay. So remember that. Now, it may be that back in the old days, around 2000, before the world went absolutely out of its mind, maybe there was just no news to report. And now it's like, hey, did you hear World War III started a couple of days ago? I missed that.
What? No, I did hear that Mars is headed towards us and going to impact us in 12 hours, but they've been talking about that one for a week.
An iceberg melted.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Okay. Scientists have successfully teleported Scientists have successfully teleported an object from Earth to space for the first time.
I mean, that's incredible.
They have a team of researchers. Oh, you've got to be kidding me. It's in China.
Yep.
Oh, man.
America is over. Well, a team of researchers
stole the technology from us.
A team of researchers. Yeah, the Clintons sold it to them in the 90s.
Yep.
A team of researchers. And by the way, the media didn't care about that. But I digress. A team of researchers in China. Now, this is the only thing I can think of that makes it a little disappointing, because people will be like, oh, they transported an object, a shoe, a sandwich. What object was it? A team of researchers in China sent a photon from the ground to an orbiting satellite more than 300 miles above through a process known as quantum entanglement. This is according to MIT Technology. It is the farthest distance. The farthest distance? You mean they've done this before? The farthest distance tested so far in teleportation experiments. The work was published online in the open access site ARXIV.
Yeah, look at the next...
I know.
Right, I know. For a month, the scientists beamed up millions of photons from their ground station in Tibet. In Tibet. This was done in Tibet. Think of every picture you've ever seen of Tibet. And this is where this scientific breakthrough happened. America, wake up. We're being ass kicked by Tibet. For about a month, the scientists beamed up millions of photons from their ground station in Tibet to the low orbiting satellite. They were successful in more than 900 cases.
That's a little
disappointing. They've done it 900 times already.
I know, but they set up millions.
I know, so we lost a few protons along the way.
Or, no, they sent multiple protons in each of the cases, I would guess. Right? They've
more than one proton. That would be a question that I would like to answer before they beam me up.
Me too.
Right now, I'm not sure. This work establishes the first ground satellite uplink for faithful and ultra long distance quantum teleportation, an essential step toward a global scale quantum internet.
Quantum internet? What this sounds like you can transport people eventually.
Well,
you know, I mean, it's not today. Maybe not by with today.
With very few exceptions, a photon is not a person.
Very true.
Okay. So,
however, this is where it starts, right? Baby steps. And then pretty soon you learn how to do it with a cat, and then you're doing it with a dog, and then you're transporting
right to people
all over the place. I'd say by the end,
try it with a rat and then right with your children.
I'm talking by the end of the year, not today.
Yeah. I think you jump right from photons to Jeffy.
Give it a whirl. Just throw them in there.
Even if it is billions of failures.
Yes.
Give it a shot. Jeffy, take the segue over to Tibet.
Let's get this
thing going.
Right. Worst case scenario, you fail. Best case scenario, he's in space. You win either way.
Work establishes for the quantum teleportation, the first global scale quantum internet. Could somebody look up quantum internet? What the hell is that? The MIT-owned magazine described quantum entanglement as a strange phenomena, anything that is involved with quantum physics is, that occurs when two quantum objects, such as photons, form at the same instant and point in space, and so share the same existence. In technical terms, they are described by the same wave function, it said. I think I just sprained my brain. The latest development comes from almost a year after physicists successfully conducted the world's first quantum teleportation outside of a laboratory. Please be in America. Please be in America. Scientists at the time determined quantum teleportation, which is often depicted as a futuristic tool in science fiction films, is in fact possible now.
Wow.
How is that not everywhere?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, just the fact that Tibet has electricity is news.
They say the quantum internet would just be a more secure internet. It would be slower than what we have now, which is disappointing. I wouldn't want it then. Slower, but much more secure.
Yeah, they say you can't look.
Oh, you might regret those words here in the next 12 or 18 months.
Yes.
Well, it certainly would work well for government functions. I mean, you know, first of all, they work really slow anyway, so it wouldn't matter if it was a fast internet. But to get something actually, they say it's absolutely secure because anytime you measure a photon, it changes it. So you would know.
Right, but
anytime anyone looked at it, there'd be telltale signs no matter what.
Oh, that's the quantum.
That's the quantum internet.
So the thing about quantum physics that just fascinates me is if you look at, I think it's the electron, right? The electron. If you go and you measure the energy of a nucleus and an electron going around, I'm sorry for all of our scientist geeks out there, but if you measure the energy of an electron, it's solid and it registers a certain energy sign or wave or whatever the hell it is. But if you look at it, it is like it's turning on and off. As we look at it, when we are measuring them, it's as if the electron is orbiting the neutron. And we know that it has to orbit the neutron like the moon orbits the Earth. But with a neutron in the center, if the electron isn't orbiting, the neutron will just expand and burn out. Okay, so it's almost like the electron is like a little lasso that is just kind of keeping that neutron in place and in constant energy, so it doesn't burn out. But if you measure it, it's constant. But if you look at it, once you go and try to look at it, the electron isn't constant. It is here, gone, here, gone, here, gone, here, gone, here, gone. And so the measurement of energy is like 100, 0, 100, 0, 100, 0, 100, 0, and they don't know where it's going. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of quantum physics, remember, I learned this from Alice in Quantum Land. The idea of quantum mechanics is there are these parallel kind of universes, they think, because it's the only, where's that photon or where's that electron going? Because if you're measuring it, it's there. But if you're observing it, it's gone. So they don't know how to figure it out. So that kind of, this one is spraying my brain. When two quantum objects, such as photons, form at the same instant and point in space, so share the same existence.
That's amazing. I never thought I would be able to figure out how teleportation worked, but I would be willing to try it. What would they have to do to get you to try this? How early would you be? Would you volunteer to be a test subject?
Me or a family member?
Yeah, family member, you're next, kids. That looks dangerous. Rafe, you first. How early would you consider being, if they've done it to animals, would you consider being the first person to be teletransported?
No.
I don't think so.
Some idiot will do it. People are jumping off of roofs onto cats on YouTube. Somebody will do it.
Yeah.
Some moron will do it first.
You don't have a moron do it, because how can you tell if they've changed? Like,
they show up,
up in space like that. I can't measure if he's any different.
Well, if they show up and they're smart, you know there's a problem right. with the process.
I want to think about this for a second, because I want to come back and tell you a real life question that I just found interesting because of flying cars, which are coming by 2020 here in the Dallas metro area. Uber is putting up a flying car station where you can ask for an Uber and it will come and, you know, kind of, it's like a little hovercraft and land, pick you up and take you someplace. There's no driver in it.
Is there a weight limit?
Yeah, you won't be experiencing it. So
do it in slices with you, maybe.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the question is, that's drone capability. And so many people I know have said, I will not fly that. I'm willing to.
Me too.
I'm willing. I mean, if it's cheap, I'm willing to fly it all the time. I want to talk to you about that and this quantum transportation in a second. First, let me tell you about Goldline. I don't know if you saw the absolutely amazing story in CNBC. And I got an email last night that said, Glenn, don't poo-poo this. There was a story from CNBC that said, we are repeating the same patterns as we did in 1928, 1929. All of the same patterns are starting to happen economically that were present before the big crash in 29. That's what kicked off the Great Depression, and that, and, you know, the government responded by, you know, war projects and everything else. Are you ready for that? If God forbid that happens, are you prepared? What happens with your money? What do you have? If we have somebody hacking in and destroying the monetary system in some way, what do you have if the banks close down for a week? Gold is the thing the world always returns to, and it will again. It has since the beginning of time. Gold has been, it's why they call it the gold standard. Right now, you could put your money in the stock market, and a year later, good luck. Do you trust it? You might be rich, you might be the same, but you might have lost a ton of money. Your 401k, your IRA, everything you have a year from now, do you think that that's safe? Right now, if you put $25,000 into gold with Goldline, these are the only people that are doing this, you put $25,000 in as an investment on gold, you get the gold, and if it goes down $1, they replace it with more gold. So you're guaranteed to not lose any money. And that guarantee starts as low as $2,500.
That's one of the most incredible offers I've ever heard.
There is no way to lose money on this.
It's amazing. It's
really incredible. Call Goldline now. 1-866-GOLDLINE. 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com. Call them now.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Sign up for the newsletter and get all the info you need to know at glennbeck.com. Mercury.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. Okay, so here in Dallas, this is not futuristic stuff. This is here in Dallas by 2020. Uber just announced that they are building a flying car, like center, an airport. Now, I'm not sure exactly how it works, but I think that, you know, it takes off from a central place there at the airport. I believe it comes and picks you up because it's like a hover car, comes and picks you up and takes you someplace. Now, I don't know if that is from one airport to another. So, you know, you, instead of waiting for a plane, or you take a plane to Dallas and it quickly whisks you away so you don't have a 2-hour drive. Or if this is, I'm here and I've got an hour and a half because of traffic, let me just grab an Uber flying car and it takes me home. I don't know. But I'm talking to people, and I was talking to people who are military guys, and they're like, oh, I wouldn't trust it. I'm not going to. No, I won't. I need a pilot in that thing. Wait, aren't we flying like really deadly bombs in drones without pilots? I mean, that, and you're underneath it. I mean, I think we have that technology down. What will it take for you to get into a driverless, pilotless drone and start to use that, assuming that it's inexpensive and you don't have to go anyplace? Like, if I have to go to the airport and then get in it, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
But if it would come pick you up someplace and, you know, take you someplace else and you miss all the traffic.
It needs to be location to location, just like the Uber car is right
yes.
now.
It if it's location up. To location mm-hmm. and assuming that it is, you know,
but it won't be
reasonable.
Though, right?
We don't know.
We don't know.
Well,
why not?
Where are they? You can't just, you're not just going to be landing that in neighborhood.
You know what? Yes, you can. You can land helicopters as long as you have permission to land on the land and that there's no wires and things so many feet around. If you have permission, it's clear of wires and towers and trees. And you're flying through tower control.
Right.
So you can land a helicopter anywhere with permission and noise problems. You know, you can't land in a neighborhood that everybody has a noise restriction on. But this should be quiet, small. It's the size of, you know, a car.
Yeah. I mean, I would
think. Landing it in your yard, why not?
6 months of pretty good reliability gets me into one. Like, I mean, I think I would need a little testing period where it was running and we didn't see like constant accidents.
Well, but they're not going to introduce it if it's not. It's not like, you know, NASA said, hey, this Apollo 1, we're selling seats. I mean, you know,
that's what I mean, though.
Yeah, they wouldn't introduce it as.
But there's some idiot who goes on the first flight, right? It's not me.
I'm not that early
of an adopter.
I would be on the first flight. I would absolutely take the first flight of the Uber flying car.
And the audience cheers.
Back in a minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So glad that you've tuned in today. I tell you, I'm really excited about some of the things that Mercury One is doing. David and I met last night on a few massive projects and a few really seemingly little projects that I think are just going to be game-changing in people's lives we're really excited about. One of the things that Mercury One is doing, David Barton is here, is our leadership training program. David, do you want to explain it just a little bit? What happens?
Yeah, it's 2 weeks. We have folks in 18 through 25. They are really, really sharp. I mean, we always say that.
Really sharp.
Every group is, we get more impressed with each group. So it really is equipping them to be able to have the knowledge and apologetics to defend American exceptionalism, American history, the Constitution.
Explain apologetics.
Apologetics is being able to defend why you believe what you believe.
This is the way. This is classic education. Mm-hmm. This is the way up until 1920, everybody was taught.
That's right.
And that's why, you know, you might think that, you know, schoolhouse education, you know, were just for dummies and we would run circles around the people from the 1800s. You couldn't be more wrong.
Yeah.
If you made it to eighth grade, we had history teachers and English teachers on our first batch of leadership training. The English teacher said, I teach English. And on this eighth grade test from 1920,
there were questions on there I didn't even understand.
That's right. So prior to the progressives changing education in the 1920s, we taught students how to think. Now we teach them how to learn.
Right.
Which means they're open to indoctrination, they're open to platitudes, they're open to one-word things like change and lean forward and whatever. So it's a whole different approach that we use now. Is we teach them to think, and that's what we're going back to, is what we did prior to 1920. Go back right. to teaching these guys how to think. They will figure out the world. That's great.
Yeah, it is. It's remarkable. And earlier this week, I got a voicemail up at customer service. Mm-hmm. They were trying to get a hold of me. Do you know this?
Yeah, I do.
You heard it?
I do. Yeah, sure.
Got a voicemail from a mom who said, my two sons in their 20s went, and they came home, and the change is remarkable, and they're so focused now and ready to go out. And
they came in as great kids. I mean, they came in, they were all squared away.
Yeah. Okay, so the reason why I have you in, by the way, if you want to find out more about this, you want to be involved yourself, you have to be 18 to 25 years old. But if you would like to come, you'd like to be a part of it, or if you would like to sponsor a student or help us with education, please go to mercuryone.org, mercuryone.org, make a donation and help us train the leaders in the community, this next generation of leaders. Nobody is doing this, and we need your help. mercuryone.org, and if you want to apply, go to mercuryone.org, LTP. That's mercuryone.org/LTP,
Leadership Training Program. That's it.
Okay, introduce me to Mark here. This is a great story.
It's a great story. Mark, the first day we're all together, and so everybody kind of goes around and introduces himself, where they're from, and tells one kind of interesting factoid about themselves. So we're going through and everybody's introducing. We get to Mark, and Mark, I've been out of college a couple of years, got an engineering degree, and man, what interesting fact. Well, I guess the interesting factoid is that when I wanted to come here for the 2 weeks, my company wouldn't let me off, so I quit work to be able to come here for 2 weeks.
Mark Poulin is his name, right? Poulin?
That's me.
Okay. Mark, you're from Goshen, Connecticut.
Yep.
Why are you here?
I'm here because my whole history in high school, I'd talk to my teachers and they were outright communists and they'd talk about how great Stalin was. And
seriously?
I'm not even joking. Not even an exaggeration. How great Stalin was.
Wow.
And I'd say things like, what about this number of millions of people who died? And they're like, that happened too.
All right.
Wow.
And so, but you're 25. Why? You know how bad Stalin was. What are you hoping to get out of this?
I'm hoping to learn how to get to those original source documents better because, you know, my whole generation grew up on Wikipedia. That's about as far as anyone ever digs. And when you try to show someone something, they're not going to go beyond that if you leave them to their own devices. So having somewhere to say, here, read this, read this letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote.
Yeah. You've been here since Monday.
Correct.
What did you learn?
A lot. it's kind of hard to...
What have you learned? Anything that has surprised you? Anything you went, oh my gosh.
Well, I watch your show a lot. So some of it I knew.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh kind of moment. One thing I didn't know was the pamphlets for that were dropped before the bomb in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Warning.
Yeah.
And not only that, the military was warned as well prior.
You know,
we have this bomb that's
however many
times worse than what we have been using.
Does it make a difference that you held those pamphlets in your hand?
Oh, yes. Definitely. I love artifacts. I actually... I'm on eBay all the time spending the money I don't have. And I have a few Geosint and, you know, the first coin ever minted by the United States. And it's in my gun safe.
Wow, that's great. Gun safe. Oh, this guy's a radical, David.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so what were you doing? You have your BS in mechanical engineering. You're an Eagle Scout. Holy cow. So you're an overachiever and a hard worker.
I don't know about that.
But. Yeah. But you're not lazy if you have an Eagle Scout.
Thank you.
What are you doing for a job now when you go back?
Well, I've applied a couple places, and it's funny, just before I left, a guy got back to me finally. He'd been on vacation for 2 weeks, and I'd been waiting to hear from him because he was setting up a second interview. And He didn't get back to me for 2 weeks.
Wow. So what do you do? Like, what kind of job do you want? Let's see if we can help find you a job here. So,
I'm looking for anything, and I liked what I did, but I wasn't going to be the career the rest of my life. So I'm looking anywhere.
For what?
Somewhat design engineering, but I could go in any field. I just want to learn something new, really.
Do you want to give your email address out? Warning. You don't have to. We could.
We can filter through us. People contact us at M1.
Okay.
And we'll put them in contact. Okay. Or if Mark, if you want to, it's your call.
I'll hang back on that one.
Yeah, sorry. No. That's a little overwhelming. I usually recommend against it, but I ask. Mercury1.org. And just email if you have a job opening and you want somebody who believes in something so much that you quit your job to
learn truth.
That's quite amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll see you next week is
eight
the last
off.
Week.
Yeah, 8 days
we'll,
graduation.
You'll be one of the guys who will be on TV. We have how many people? 30?
We 50? Have 44 in this class.
44. Huge. And really great.
Sharp,
I mean,
man.
Sharp.
Sharp knives in the drawer.
Yeah, you know what's funny is because I went on, what, first or second day
Monday,
they were
first
here.
First day, yeah.
Yeah, first day they were here and spent, I don't know, 20 minutes, half an hour with them. And somebody asked, why do you have faith in our generation? And I wish they could have seen themselves from my place.
Yeah.
You know, I have faith because I'm looking
right
at these guys. I mean, yeah.
That's right.
I mean, you
look
guys are really, truly remarkable. And Generation X is not Generation Z. The more you start to learn about Generation Z, they are coming up totally different from this culture. They are rejecting.
They're your young Patrick Henrys, your young John Quincy Adams.
Yeah.
They're the guys that are coming up as young guys now.
So yep. I will tell you that I spoke a little bit about this on Facebook last night. I've taken my companies, which I've never done this before, and I've appointed myself, take a pay cut, and appointed myself CEO of all of the companies. And David and I are working very closely also on Mercury One, and we're all running in the same direction. And we are going to be serving the millennials and really Generation Z as well, which is the next generation, because if we lose them, we're done. And we have put a lot of work into how can we serve families and how can we serve the next rising generations. And the best thing we can do is educate and help parents educate.
And educate in the sense of teaching them how to think, not
what
learn,
to think.
Not education today.
There is no indoctrination. What was the main message that I gave you guys on Monday? What did you get out of my message on Monday?
Your phrase you always use, question with boldness.
Yeah.
And that's going to lead you to truth.
Right. And I said to all of them coming in, do not believe me. Do not believe David Barton. Do your own homework. Turn over every single stone. Question until you know that it's true and you have seen it with your own eyes. Don't take anyone, not even mine or David's, don't take anybody's truth to be yours. Find it for yourself. If you would like to get involved, we really, really need your help. Please go to mercury1.org, mercury1.org, and donate in our education box. You will see the results next week of just this one class, and we're going to keep churning them out. And one by one, you're going to go home and do what with this information, do you think?
Hopefully teach people I know and talk to my friends and
help show people how to find those original sources.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you very much, Mark. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll find you a job. If you would like an
That'd
Eagle...
be too much, but thank you.
If you'd like to work with an Eagle Scout and a BS in mechanical engineering, 25 years old and a straight arrow, let us know. Thank you very much, Mark. Thank you, David. Our sponsor this half hour is My Patriot Supply. People like Jim Rogers and Mark Yusok... is it... Yusoko? Yes, I can't remember. He was on CNBC,
and their power lunch, I think on Monday, and he's the guy who said, we are headed towards the Great Depression this fall. He says all of the metrics are lining up exactly the way they did in 1928, 1929. I hope that is not right. You know, or we have some sort of reprieve and we miss it. But some really, really smart people are saying, look at the metrics, because we are headed towards a market crash that is very close to what happened for the Great Depression. So what do you do? Well, you can worry about it, or you can just prepare. I hope everything will be okay, but I'm not confident that we're going to miss this. I'm not confident that we're going to hit this trouble. I'm not confident that we're going to miss this trouble. I hope we miss it. But will I be okay? I'm confident that I'll be okay because I took the steps to prepare my family. And one of those steps is having survival food supply. What happens if the grocery store is disrupted for a week? Do you have the food? What happens if it's disrupted for a couple of weeks? What happens if something is disrupted with a power grid? What happens if you lose your job or the banks have to close and you have no money for a while? These are the kinds of things that happen when you're in cyber warfare or when you are in a situation like the Great Depression. Remember, FDR closed the banks. Do you have food? Are you confident that you will be fine and you can be a blessing to others? Or do you hope? If you want to turn hope into confidence, I want you to call 800-200-7163 or go to preparewithglenn.com. Preparewithglenn.com. 102 adult servings of breakfast, lunch, and dinner for only $99. That's less than a dollar per meal. Preparewithglenn.com or 800-200-7163.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BACK.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
So glad you're here. Tomorrow, we got a great show. Tomorrow, we show you, while the rest of the country is bogged down with the media and the arguing, how you can actually carry on and make America great. We have a plan of action that we want to share with you tomorrow. Also, Bill O'Reilly joins the program. I think Bill and I disagree on an awful lot this week.
I heard you had a kind of a little debate on the Russia thing.
Oh, we did big time. It was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we were at each other's throats. But I like it because we can make fun of each other all the way during it. And walk away friends.
Yeah.
It was great. He was like, that's the truth. And I'm like, yeah, you skipped a few pieces of facts here, Bill. But he'll be joining us from BillO'Reilly.com on tomorrow's program. What else do we have lined up? I'm going to call Imus today or write to Imus today just to see if he has any perspective on the Russia thing. I would like to hear that tomorrow if he's available.
After the last interview, you're going to book him again?
I mean, I am doing my best to lose this gig.
Doesn't seem intentional.
Oh, no, he was hysterical last time. I don't know if he'll come on, but we'll try to get him on. Anything else that we have tomorrow?
Well, we should talk about probably the big story, which is that McDonald's has just announced they are going to release a bacon and cheese basket of fries.
Okay, let me just say two things. One, why haven't I been a guinea pig test subject for McDonald's? I'm not willing to, you know, go from proton into space with a transporter to human, but I, for America.
That is so bold and courageous of you.
I am willing to be the test subject for the bacon cheese fries from McDonald's.
You know, the word hero is probably overused.
Thank you.
But it definitely applies here.
Thank you. I'm willing to do it. Second thing, looks like McDonald's kind of gave up on their, we're healthy, we have healthy choices.
Yeah, time.
Bacon cheese fries. There you go, McDonald's. Now you're speaking our language.
You really are.
Yeah.
Also, we have the quick conversation apparently Trump had with the wife of Macron in France when they met. Apparently he walked up to her and said,
You're in great shape. Beautiful.
To the white. To the president of the United States.
Wow, do you look flexible. Wow.
You're one hot little number. Look at them jams on you. Oh, oh, some kind of dame, baby.
You are one hot dame.
Turn around. Real quick. Touch I like your dress. Take it off.
Whoa, look at I just dropped a quarter. Why didn't you pick that up?
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.